Welcome to Giant Cocktails, a podcast where two lifelong fans talk about the San Francisco Giants while drinking homemade cocktails. Now, here are your hosts, Ben and Matthew Henry.
Welcome to another episode of Giant Cocktails. I am your host, Ben Henry, and yes, it really is me. And this is my voice now, I guess. At least for the next few days, anyway. I am your host, Ben Henry, and alongside my brother, the fallacious Matthew Henry. Because Matthew...
Ben, this is a family show.
I don't
want to have to beep that out. I mean, this is a family show, Ben.
Right. Well, as everybody knows, and Matthew once again proves, I am the smarter of the two brothers. That Matthew word is that you were thinking of does sound similar. It is spelled slightly differently, though. And what this means is that you were wrong.
Oh,
you were wrong.
Oh. Are we referring to the end of our last episode when I went all in on the Giants facing the, who did I say?
You said the Chicago Cubs, and then
I was so certain too. I was so certain it was the Chicago Cubs.
You were very certain. You were absolutely certain. And then we talked a whole lot about Glenn Allen Hill and his spider nightmares. And it turned out the Giants were playing the Rockies.
Rockies. Sometimes we all make mistakes, Ben. Sometimes we just, we lay an egg. And I don't know what happened. I know how to read a schedule. I've been doing it for a very long time. But somehow I convinced myself that COL meant CHI, I guess. I don't know.
The only thing that I could think of, because I stared at that for a long time and I tried to figure out, how did he think this was the Cubs?
Yeah.
And all I could think of was that you saw the C and you were like, Cubs.
Because, also, we do this show drunk, Ben.
But you did that part before the show started.
See, I was hoping you wouldn't actually mention that.
Right. Smarter brother.
No,
remember, smarter brother.
All right. Sorry, folks, if you thought we were playing the Cubs. But instead, be thankful that we were playing the Rockies.
Well, yeah, but going into it, though, they were on a 7-game winning streak.
I mean, we would have been like, oh, my God, they're hot. We're doomed.
At that point in time, the Giants hadn't even had a 3-game winning streak. So, it wasn't a sure thing. And they were creeping up behind the Giants.
Yeah.
They were. Yeah. They were only a game behind the Giants when that series started. What a difference a series makes. And I guess that's what we're going to be talking today about. But before any of that, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Well, as most people can probably tell, we're coming to you a day late and more than a dollar short.
Way more.
Just hemorrhaging money right now, folks. Hemorrhaging money. It's because I don't know if you can tell from the sound of my voice, but I'm a little bit under the weather. And I was extremely under the weather yesterday as we record this podcast on Sunday evening, and so I was in no condition to be able to talk, much less record a podcast, and so we had to wait a day before my voice could come back to barely listenable. And that's where we are today. So I have a question about colds for you, Matthew.
Okay.
Do you ignore your colds and just keep powering through? Or do you coddle your colds and just turn in total, like a total man baby, and like moan and groan and hide under your covers?
First of all, your voice is sounding better than ever. Have you heard your normal voice? I mean, this could be an improvement.
That is true. Well,
you've got the dulcet tones of Ben Henry.
Oh yeah, this is like that episode of Friends where Phoebe gets sick.
Yes,
and she has that sultry voice. Wilmer would know what I was talking about.
He would. Okay, but anyway, your question about coddling colds. No, I do not coddle my colds. I take a crap load of whatever like over the counter stuff that I can take and I suck it up. And, you know, I blow my nose as much as I have to and I do what I need to do. But I will say that in this day and age, I stay home from work because nobody wants to catch the germs at work. And
that's
true. I have my own office, but still it's not a good look when the leader of your organization comes in all blowing his nose and then everyone thinks that they got to do the same and all that. So I stay home because I want people to stay home when they're sick. So you got to stay home. But no, I don't baby it, man. I power through
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
How about you? You were lying curled up.
Oh yeah. No, I was in bed moaning and groaning.
Were you like Cameron on Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Let my Cameron go. Yeah. Yes, I was. Yeah. I'm proud of it. You know, like I have no shame in that. Like, you know, that's what the cold needs. Like, you know, you need to remind, because you know why you feel bad, Matthew? You don't feel bad because of the virus. You feel bad because your immune system is fighting the virus. Right. And you are the battleground. And if you, the more that you moan and groan and sound like you're suffering, the more it encourages your immune system because it knows it's doing a good job.
Okay. Okay. Well, yeah. I have another alternative for you. So I have mm-hmm. a degree in sports psychology and there's, you know, this thing about, you know, mind over matter kind of thing. And you can actually, like, when you're in that state, convince your white blood cells to attack and you will, your body will respond. So if you can visualize your body's response to the virus being a positive one, then you actually get through the cold faster. Don't fact check me on that. It's true.
Right. Okay. Don't fact check you. Does it help if you're holding your crystals tightly in your fist?
Crystals have nothing to do with it. It's all about the mind. All about the mind.
Right. Oh, you have
everything you need to conquer things mm-hmm. at your disposal. You don't need sleep crystals to do that.
Right. Right, just like I can use my mind to pour the bottle of booze into my mouth.
Well, you need your hands. You need to tell your
hands. Anyway.
Anyway.
Today is Sunday, May 19th, as we don't record this podcast because it's not Sunday.
Oh,
it
yeah, this is from Monday. Yesterday. I was way ahead of the schedule yesterday. It is Monday, May 20th, Ben.
May 20th, as we record this podcast. Your San Francisco Giants went 4-2 this past week, bringing their record to 23-25, and yet again, folks, they find themselves 2 games under .500. But only a single game out of the last and final wild card spot behind the Padres. And Bob, what do we know about the third wild card?
Third wild card is the worst wild card.
You know what, Bob? I think that's not true. I think it's actually the best wild card.
I don't get paid enough for this.
Oh, shut it. No, here's my theory. Here's my theory, Bob. The third wild card gets to play in the first round against the worst division winner, who often has a record that is worse than the top wild card and maybe even worse than the second wild card. So the third wild card gets to play either the fourth or fifth strongest opponent in the National League or in the American League. And so, honestly, I think finishing in the third wild card is better than finishing in any of the other wild cards. So, the Giants are sitting pretty. Once again, mastermind Farhan just designing everything perfectly.
Wow, that actually made sense.
Wow. Thank you, Bob. That's very kind of you to say. Anyway, the San Francisco Giants, they went 1-2 against the stupid Dodgers. We already knew about that. We already talked about it. We don't need to go over that again. More importantly, the San Francisco Giants swept the super hot team, the Colorado Rockies, 3 games in a row to bring their win streak to 4 games, becoming the last team in all of Major League Baseball. A group of baseball teams that includes such teams as the Colorado Rockies, the Miami Marlins, the Chicago White Sox. The Giants became the last team in Major League Baseball to win 3 in a row this year. And when my brother, you know him, Matthew, the co-host, told me about that via text message. I just texted back to him and I said, wow, that just feels so true.
You didn't because need to fact check that one, did you?
No, I didn't need to fact check it. It was just like, no, that's real. Yeah, there's no way this team has won 3 in a row this year. Just not a chance. And then, you know, all the outfielders got hit, and you and I, Matthew, we turned into prophets because we said there's no reason to think that these new guys coming up are going to make the offense worse. They might even make it better. And even though they weren't hitting very well in AAA, I mean, Ramos was. But Luciano wasn't. Matos wasn't. So what happens? Well, obviously, Luis Matos comes up, wins the NL Player of the Week award for the first time for the Giants since 2018. When everybody's favorite Giant, Brandon Belt, did it. And, you know, he made us learn the name High Pockets Kelly. And we're going to talk all about that and the impact of the young guys later in the show. And then we're going to talk about what these performances by these young guys, if they continue, even if one of them continues, what does that mean for the roster going forward? And then if we have time, we're going to talk about some of unsung heroes who should have their names sung. But we might not have enough time, and that's fine, because these guys usually don't.
Because you've been talking a lot, so it's been hard
I have been talking a lot. Anyway, my timer says it's time for the trivia question, Matthew.
All right. Well, today's trivia question is in honor of Player of the Week, Luis Matos, who has driven in 17 runs in his first 6 games that he's played for the Giants this year. That is the most by any Giants player since this player drove in 19 in 2013. Who is he?
Man, I was really afraid the answer to this question was going to be High Pockets Kelly, and I had just said his name. I was like, really? No, you didn't? Because I thought I saw his name somewhere else in the notes. Yeah,
High Pockets Kelly was 1913, not 2000.
Yeah. Since 2013?
Yes.
Oh, that was one of the off years. I don't remember those years, Matthew. They don't really exist.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I don't blame you. It's one of those ones you just kind of, you know, forget about.
I'm gonna have to go with High Pockets Kelly.
Okay, High Pockets Kelly coming back from the dead. I get it.
That's
all right.
Yeah.
All right. We will see how wrong Ben is at the end of the episode.
Isn't it time for the booze, boys?
Yes, let's talk booze.
What are you drinking, Matthew?
Well, thanks, Bob. I'm drinking something that I'm calling a strawberry gin basil sour. I'm just, you know, not very creative a name, but it is what it is. It has 2 ounces of London Dry Gin, 3/4 ounces of elderflower liqueur, 3/4 ounces of strawberry syrup, 3/4 ounces of lemon juice, 3 to 4 fresh basil leaves, and 2 dashes of Peychaud's bitters. You're going to put them all into a shaker with ice, and you're going to give it a good shake for about 10 to 12 seconds until it's well chilled. And then you're going to double strain it, because you're going to have all these little basil leaves kind of, you know, floating around. So you're going to double strain it into a rocks glass with fresh ice, preferably a big chunk, and you're going to lay a fresh basil leaf across the top of that ice as a garnish. And there you have it. You have a strawberry gin basil sour. And you got it's tart and sweet and strawberry and basil-y and herbal-y, and it's really yummy. That's what I'm drinking today, Bob. The strawberry gin basil sour.
Mmm. That's a tasty cocktail. What are you drinking, Ben?
Oh, well, thank you for asking, Bob. That's very kind of you. Today, Bob, I am drinking a cocktail. I don't even know that's a cocktail. These predate cocktails. The toddy does. I'm drinking a special kind of toddy. I'm drinking a hot toddy. And hot toddies are good for soothing your sore throat. Although it's pretty questionable to drink alcohol when you're sick because it hurts your immune system or something. But I don't listen to any of that. So I am drinking a hot toddy recipe inspired by Anders Ericsson from his YouTube channel. We had an episode about a year and a half ago about hot toddies. And my hot toddy has 6 ounces of chamomile tea. Technically, that's an infusion. I know there's no tea in chamomile. Don't come at me. You know who you are. It has 1.5 ounces of scotch whiskey. And then it has 1 ounce of a lemon oleosacrum syrup. And no, I didn't make the oleosacrum while I was sick. I just, by chance, happened to have been making some a few days ago, as you do. And so I had it on hand, and I converted that into a syrup. And you just combine all of those into your teacup, and you don't even bother stirring it. You just drink it to soothe your very sore throat. And that's what I'm drinking today. A hot toddy.
Mmm, that's a tasty cocktail.
It's very good. It tastes, it tastes therapeutic, Bob. It tastes warming and curing, even though it's not, it's helping my throat, but it's not helping my immune system.
Therapeutic and curing, kind of like an influx of young talent from AAA.
Indeed. Just, well, no, I got to tell you, that was way better than a hot toddy, Matthew. Those guys were like a shot of adrenaline to your heart when you are ODing on an opiate.
Oh, wow.
Not okay. That I would know.
All right, so we're likening Luis Matos to Narcan? Is that what we're...
Is that what that is? I don't know. Does Narcan work that way? I don't know how Narcan works. I don't know anything about these newfangled cures.
It reverses the effects of opioids, yeah.
No, I don't think that's quite the same. You know, I'm thinking more of that scene from Pulp Fiction where...
Right, isn't that what she does, though?
That's adrenaline, dude.
Oh, okay.
Straight to her heart. From a massive needle that they punch right through. Never mind. Whatever. We're going far afield. The point is, yeah, the boys.
Oh, yeah, the boys. We're not talking about Uma Thurman and John Travolta. We're talking about Luis Matos here. Player of the week, Luis Matos.
That's right. That's who we're talking about. I got so excited there. I went into a coughing fit and had to mute my mic. You got me all riled up. And I lost my page in my notes. Right, player of the week, Luis Matos, that guy. I mean, he started his run really against the Dodgers, right? When he hit that home run against Yamamoto in the first game against the Dodgers. And really, he wasn't even the first of the guys to get called up. It was Ramos, right? And Ramos had played some good defense up to that point and had a couple of hits And so it all culminated, right? It all culminated, and then Marco Luciano showed up, and he started having an impact against the Rockies. And suddenly, here we are, 3 games in, you know, after the Dodger series, and I think, 4 days removed, 5 days removed from finding out that Jung-Hoo Lee is going to be out for the entire year? It was easily the low point of the season, right? Like, I don't know that it was the low point in terms of the standings or in terms of how far away they felt from being good. But I think with the news of Jung-Hoo Lee and just seeing how good the Dodgers are, right? Like, you know, just how stupid, annoying it is that they can overcome all of their weaknesses with just like when the top of their order turns over.
I was gonna say, when you have like 4 of the best players in baseball at the top of your order, it overcomes a lot. You can overcome a lot of mistakes.
Yeah. And it's just like, and then, you know, you got to watch all of that. And then Shohei hit that stupid home run all the way out to like, I don't know. It landed in Moraga.
Dude, why are we talking about the Dodgers?
Well, I'm just saying how bad things were. Okay. And then, boom, all of a sudden we've forgotten all about that. And because of like just the most improbable run by these guys who we just didn't see it coming. Like, they were like, people were clamoring for these guys to be called up, right? Everybody's like, oh man, these guys suck. You know, Slater sucks. Yaz sucks. You know, Conforto is, he's finally fully healed, and he's just sort of slightly above average. And, you know, Soler sucks, and, like, everybody sucks. And so they were, like, clamoring for Matos to be called up and Ramos to be called up, and everybody was like, Matos is barely hitting his weight, right? Ramos is doing well, but it's like, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me three times, no thank you. Right? And so we just didn't see it coming. And then, boom, they show up in like 11 RBIs and something that you haven't seen since Tungsten Kelly last, you know, pulled up his high pockets. Which, Matthew, what is the stat related to high pockets?
So Matos is the first Giants player since George High Pockets Kelly in 1921 to drive in at least 14 in his first 7 games to start a season. Ben, we need nicknames like that. Like, imagine if so the reason, I did some research, the reason he was called High Pockets,
okay, yeah,
is that he was 6'4", which was tall for the day.
It's tall for now.
Yeah, but I guess, you know, Major League Baseball players weren't all 6'4" then, right? So he stood out.
They're not all six. Okay, whatever. Yes, you're right. Tall.
And so his pockets were higher than everybody else's. And so nicknames just were like that creative, right? People were just like, your pockets are bigger than everybody else. You are now High Pockets Kelly. And
I totally understand, Egghead.
Oh, thanks. Okay, Potbelly Henry.
Yeah. And I don't mean that because you're smart. I mean that because your head is like shaped like an egg.
I know exactly what you meant. Yeah. So yeah, you could be Ben Potbelly Henry, and I could be Matthew. What was it? Egghead. So, you know, that would be our nickname if we were still going by those rules of literal.
I mean, what were you hoping that I was going to call you? Flat stomach?
Sure. Anyway, while you're hacking from your own joke, now you're, see, that's what happens. You make yourself laugh. You're going to hack.
It was your joke. It was your joke that made me do that. But anyway.
Anyway, wow. So Luis Matos comes up and makes us kind of forget that Jung Hoo Lee is out for the season, right? I mean, you couldn't have scripted it any better for a Giants fan base that was mourning the loss of one of their favorite players for the guy that replaces them to come up and do this.
No, I mean,
it does ease the pain a little bit.
It was the perfect hot toddy for the situation. Absolutely. Absolutely eases the pain. And what was even more interesting was that he makes those two catches in 2 days, right? I mean, yeah. I'm just going to say he robbed two home runs in 2 days. You know, some people are like, oh, I'm not quite sure. You know, I looked at the angle of the trajectory of the weenus, and I'm not sure that ball was going out. Like, whatever. Whatever, Gabe. You know. But you know, and suddenly he's like a great defensive outfielder when, like, I don't know, it wasn't that long ago, Matthew, where that ball was hitting him in outfield when he was expecting Ramos to catch it, you know?
Right.
So, yeah. But what I think is really interesting about that too, is that, you know, everybody's like, oh, he's not a center fielder. He's not a good center fielder. And we heard a lot of that last year, and Gabe Kapler and company really let him know it. Right, you're not good enough. That's why we're sending you back down, and you got to work on it more. And this year, what does Bob Melvin tell him? You're our center fielder, right? Because like Jung Hoo's down, and yeah, they could move Yaz there. They could have Yaz and Slater play there, but that's not what they want to do. Because like this is the guy. Like this is the guy. Now is his time, right? Like, this is the opportunity that you have. You might as well give him the position. And also, what are you supposed to do with a young man with a psyche that might be a little bit fragile, especially when, you know, a ball hits him on the legs when he expects his other guy to catch it? You tell him you believe in him and to go out there and keep doing it because you can. And that's how you communicate and coach well. And I think, honestly, I think that kind of just percolates through all of these young guys. The message that they're hearing from Bob Melvin is way different than the message I think a lot of these guys were hearing last year. And you know, and I'm sure there's other people in the organization who are still beating that old drum, but like Bob Melvin is like, his concern isn't like, what you can or can't do from development. His concern is like, what are you doing for me today?
Bob Melvin does not care one bit about the weenus, Ben.
That's right. That's right. Like, Bob Melvin does not care about the weenus and launch angles and trajectories and routes to the ball. I mean, don't get me wrong. He cares about all those things. But what he cares more about is your ability to improve. And he has given these guys the opportunities to fail rather than trying to look for any reason to call them failures. And, you know, that's true of Ramos even. You know, like, I heard somebody talk to Melvin at the end of, did you see this interview, this question that he was asked about Ramos?
No.
Somebody asked him about Ramos, like, you know, how, because, you know, Matos had kind of like, he's kind of overshadowed everybody, right? He overshadowed the entire National League this week, which is why he was the player of the week, right? And so Ramos had kind of gotten, you know, overshadowed by that by a bit. And somebody was saying, like, can you talk a little bit about Ramos? And Melvin said, no, he's been great for us. And he was like, remember, of all the guys to get called up, he was the first one in this wave of injuries that the outfield had. And he came up and he made some really good plays in the outfield and he had some timely hits and he's had some really good at bats. And he said, you know, I didn't get to see a lot of him in spring training. And so he's got a clean slate with Melvin.
Yeah.
And Melvin is just going to let him just be out there and let the results speak for themselves. And, you know, it's really refreshing, right? It feels like a lot of these guys, we've been talking about their deficiencies. Oh, he's not good enough at this. He's not good enough at that. And now, instead, the attitude is, let's talk about what they're good at. And let's focus on that. And let's lean into that. And let's give them the room to succeed rather than trying to find ways for them to fail. And I mean, so far they've succeeded. The question is, and you know I have to do this because I'm the cynic. Can they keep it up?
Yeah, see, you know, could you just let us enjoy this for just a minute?
No, like, I can't.
Like, this is a time where we get to, like, really get excited about things, and you're asking questions like, can they keep it up? Like, probably not. Bummer, dude. Okay. You know, otherwise, Matos is going to drive in, like, 362 runs or something, you know? It's just, that's not going to happen. So, of course, they're going to have their struggles. But for this week, they propelled the Giants to some much-needed wins, including Marco Luciano, who also is getting kind of overshadowed. I mean, here is maybe the organization's top-hitting prospect over the last, like, several years, who made his, you know, season debut, and no one's really talking about it because, you know, we've got two other guys that are doing so well. But what's even more telling to me, Ben, I mean, Luciano has come in and has played well. You know, he's played a steady shortstop, which is what they're asking of him. And, you know, he's hitting .333 for the week since he came here, right? And he's 4-for-12 with two doubles. So he's been playing really well. And I think it was really telling yesterday, Ben, when they made some roster moves.
Yeah.
And Tyler Fitzgerald was optioned to AAA and Luciano stayed. And so now that pretty much telegraphs that Luciano is the shortstop right now. There is no other.
Right. I mean, and Schmidt had already been sent down. And right now that means that Brett Wisely, who is still on the roster.
He had one at bat this last week, Ben.
Oh, he did. He did have one at bat. He struck out. Yeah. You didn't even need to tell me that. I knew that he struck out. I mean, right now, like, I would say he's the only shortstop on the roster when the other one is Brett Wisely.
Right.
And so that means he is the shortstop right now, which is crazy because I think I remember reading in somebody's article when he got called up, they were like, oh, he's just here as a placeholder. Right. This is not the time.
Right.
And suddenly now it's like, Oh, wait, no, this is the time. Like, he's being given a real legitimate shot this time. And I don't know. It just goes in the same way with Ramos and Matos. There's something about these call-ups this time where they're all being given the opportunity. And this is what we talked about in our last show on last Thursday. about that this being an opportunity where like one of them was going to have to play a lot because they just couldn't hide them all. Instead, they're like, all three of these guys are playing every day. And yeah. I find that totally surprising. And yeah, here we are with Luciano now being the shortstop. But I do think this brings up some questions around the roster. And Matthew, I want to tell people what we named this segment because I think it's fun. We got a lot of people on the roster. I want to know, Matthew, which ones are the roster imposters?
Okay. So by roster imposter, we're talking guys.
Brett Wisely. We're talking about Brett Wisely, and
maybe Nick Avila. I mean,
definitely,
you know.
Yes. Brett and Nick. So what's interesting about both Brett and Nick is that these most recent turns on the roster that these two gentlemen have you noticed how much they haven't been playing?
Right.
Like, it's a little bit different than the last time that these guys were on the roster. Right? Fully using all 26 men. Right now, it's like a 24-man roster.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Well, Nick Avila has pitched two innings in one game in the last week. In those two innings, they gave up 5 hits, 4 runs. So,
that's Nick, above average, Matthew. Usually I'm like, oh, he's good. He's good for half a run every inning. That's 4 times as. Oh, Nick. Like, what?
Oh, Nick. So definitely a roster imposter. These are guys that are on their last. We're going to see. Well, they're not going to be on the roster for much longer, especially as they start bringing guys back like Nick Ahmed.
Right.
Which I think is kind of interesting. Like, you know, with the recent moves they've made, they sent Schmidt down. They sent Fitzgerald down. They've got Wisely there, who would be the logical choice to send down if they want to keep Luciano at shortstop. But then who plays second base when Tyro Estrada needs a day off? Because
I've been meaning to tell you this. I heard it was going to be you.
Oh, I'm ready, man. I'm ready.
Old Egghead Henry out there.
That's right. That's right. Jersey sales will skyrocket.
Yeah.
It'll be Matthew Egghead Henry.
Yeah.
I'll give you lots of hustle, guys. I'll give you lots of hustle.
Right. They would call me old Torn Hammy Henry.
Yes, they would.
Yeah, like it's for after that first play.
You like, and Michael Conforto.
Yeah, that's right.
Have the same nickname.
One of us would be lefty and one would be righty. And then that would just be our nicknames. I'd be lefty, he'd be righty, because he'd be righty hammy and I'd be lefty hammy. Or vice versa. That is a good question. Because, like, nobody there is a second baseman. But, you know, it's second base, which is just what? I mean, it's just the easier version of shortstop.
Well, yeah, well, sure. And I'm looking at...
That's what they tell me anyway.
I'm looking at, like, the numbers for both Nick Ahmed. I think has played, like, 2 games in his entire career at second base.
Boom. Pencil him in. I mean...
Now, remember last year, or during the... You were having some problems with Luciano's stint in winter ball, right?
Yeah.
You were like, what happened? After 18 games, he was gone and all that. But during those 18 games, he played a few games at second base.
Oh, did he?
He did.
Well,
and so I'm wondering.
That's interesting because everybody, all the pundits said that he can't play shortstop.
Right. Maybe he can't play second base either. I don't know. Yeah. But someone is going to have to play second base besides Tyro Estrada. And it's not, I don't think it's Wilmer Flores anymore. So
no.
What are we?
Well,
what's gonna
happen?
Who's the roster imposter? Because we think it's Wisely. But if they really need a second base backup, then maybe it's Luciano gets sent back down, or Ben, maybe Nick Ahmed gets DFA'd.
Okay, if Nick Ahmed gets DFA'd in favor of Brett Wisely, I'm burning everything down. I'm burning everything down.
Well, and the only reason you could make that argument is that his offense has been so bad that it's offset his defensive strengths, right? So he's actually at a 0 war this year, even though he's played really good defensively, because his hitting has been that bad. And so maybe that's enough for them to be like, you know what, we'd rather play the young guys and not have Nick Ahmed on the roster. But I don't know.
I would have Ahmed be your backup then, and he becomes a defensive replacement. Right? And, like, have Luciano get all the at-bats.
As long as they're comfortable him playing backup second base, you know, I think that that makes sense. It also makes sense because then you're not getting rid of anybody. You know, you still got Wisely in AAA as insurance,
which is where your replacement players.
Ahmed's going to go somewhere else, and now you definitely got Wisely coming up.
Right, and your replacement players should be in AAA. Like, you don't want your replacement players to be on your major league roster all year, and if you DFA Ahmed, then you are saying that it has to be Wisely because he becomes your best second baseman. I think Schmidt is your best shortstop of, you know, counting out Ahmed. I think Fitzgerald is your best bat between the three, between Wisely, Schmidt, and Fitzgerald. I think Schmidt becomes your best shortstop, but none of them are second basemen except Wisely, right? Wisely has played second base. But at the same time, I feel like I was kind of joking when I was saying that second base is just the easier version of shortstop. And that's obviously not true, right? It's a different side of the field. So all the planes change and, you know, it, turning double plays and all that stuff is different.
Yeah.
On the other hand, right, it feels like a shortstop should be able to learn how to play second base. And it shouldn't be that too big of an adjustment. So I feel like any one of these guys should be able to do it, and so therefore it should not be Wisely. Yet here we are, Fitzgerald and Schmidt are down in AAA, and Brett Wisely's still on the roster, so maybe that's why, I don't know. It's interesting. It'll be interesting to see what happens when Nick Ahmed is ready to come off the IL, for sure. So that is a big question. My bet is that it's Luciano and Ahmed. If Luciano continues to hit. If Luciano does not continue to hit, I don't think they will hesitate to send him back down. Then I think it's Ahmed's job. And then I don't know who the backup is. Probably Wisely, as much as that irritates me.
You know? All right. So that's the offensive side. It'll be interesting to see. I think neither of us have any clue as to how they're going to figure all that out. But I do wonder how much of this is Bob Melvin's call versus Farhan's call. And because I feel like that's going to make a difference.
I do too. I mean, I honestly feel like that Melvin is going to start to play. Like, I think Melvin understands all the pieces now. And he's like, if this is the roster you're going to give me, I'm not going to play those guys. Avila and Wisely do not see playing time.
Right. I mean, look at how that's played out so far. Because last year, you know, Wisely and Avila would have gotten major innings because that's the way Gabe Kapler would have, you know,
right.
Oh, dad wants me to play you guys, so I'm going to play you guys. I don't think Bob Melvin looks at it that way.
Nope.
And so, we've seen that. I mean, one at week, that's crazy.
Yeah. Well, that's one more at bat than he deserves. So, I do want to say quickly before you jump on to the pitching side, I do think it's also interesting what happens when the outfielders start to get healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And wow. So one thing that I don't know if people know this, that the Giants have a new outfielder on the 26-man roster.
Good old Ryan McKenna.
Good old what? Mystery Ryan man?
Low Pockets McKenna.
That's right. Low Pockets McKenna. What is he? Is he 5'4"? Is he Altuve tall?
He is.
Which, by the way, is pretty close to how tall Ben is. So.
All right. Oh.
Like, you all don't like Altuve because he's
5'11". You know, so above average.
Uses technology.
5'11".
5'11". Okay. Medium Pockets McKenna.
There you go.
Yeah. So Medium Pockets McKenna is a guy that we got off the scrap heap from the Orioles. Who got DFA'd? Who got optioned?
Fitzgerald did.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. So Fitzgerald got optioned for McKenna. But McKenna is a legitimate outfielder. And so now they have four outfielders plus Soler. And then
Sable and Wade Jr. Who can play outfield.
Well, they sometimes put Wisely out there. I don't think Bob Melvin will put Wisely out there.
Yeah.
Stepdad would have done that in a heartbeat. And he did many times. Put him in center field, no less. So McKenna is here, but we don't feel like he's going to stick around for long, right? Because
I can't see that because you got Conforto coming back. You've got, you know, guys, you know, well, Slater's on the
concussion IL.
So he's coming back. Well, I mean, assuming that his concussion symptoms go away.
I mean, those could be. Well, he's eligible whenever.
Right. But he has to clear the protocol.
Yeah. Right. He has to clear the protocol. So those can sometimes last 6 months. Sometimes he could be clear any day now. And if he, you can't joke around with this stuff anymore. Right. Like a guy from the Mets got suspended for a year from baseball for futzing around with the injury. And you can bet after Stripling's complaining last year that the Giants are on everybody's watch list. So you can't play cute, especially with the union rep.
Yeah.
So when Slater is ready to come off the IL, he's going to come off the IL. And that should be a really interesting situation. I mean, well, whoever first comes off, it's McKenna for sure. But after that,
who out of Ramos and Matos are you sending down? And I know that a lot of Giants fans are saying get rid of Slater. I just don't see that happening. I would be very surprised.
I see it happening.
I guess only if Ramos and Matos continue to play out of their minds, then maybe there's a path to Slater getting DFA'd. I think his track record and
God his track
just you know the way that Farhan loves his matchups. And I know he's struggling this year a little bit, but I don't know. I would be surprised, but I think it might be the right call. So I don't know.
I mean that's the problem. It would be the right call. The problem, like, here's the thing. Let's say it happens in the next week. It's too soon to tell. And the sooner that it happens, the more likely that Slater stays on the roster.
Well, here's the thing. But if though, you bring back Slater, mm-hmm. and you'd option, let's say, Ramos back to Sacramento, right. You give it another, 2-3 weeks, and Slater's still struggling, then you make the move, right?
Yeah, I mean, but how many games have you given away then? You're losing games for that.
I'm assuming this is the bat coming off the bench. I don't know. I don't know.
You can't afford any more games. Like you can't give any more away. You got to put your best team on the roster. And right now, like my problem is I don't know that we fully know, because like, look, Luis Matos could be pulling a Casey Schmidt here.
Totally, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, because I mean, last year he came in and was like the world's best player for like 2 weeks.
Right. Or this could be the beginning of the Luis Matos era. And, you know, and there is his sidekick, nearly as good, but never quite as good, Elliot Ramos. And they become part of that power duo in the Giants outfield for the next 5 years. You know, the corner outfielders, you know, centered around Jung-Hoo Lee. That could be what's happening, too. The problem is that if Slater becomes healthy enough in the next week, I think they keep Slater. But if Slater still continues to not stay healthy for another 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and both of these guys continue to play well for 2 or 3 weeks, the longer they play well, the more it's sort of like this is going to stick, and then you have to keep those guys. Because you can't hedge your bets after the start to the season that they had, not if you really want to compete for this wild card spot.
Yeah,
you know, you don't have that luxury. So anyway, I think we could both be right. But we're not gonna both be right.
No.
So should be interesting to see what happens.
It should be. What's also gonna be interesting is how this whole pitching staff is going to shake out, because you've got Blake Snell coming off the IL to start on Wednesday. We've been told that already. So you and I were looking at the roster, and it seems like right now the candidate that would be sent down would be Nick Avila. Right. We just talked about him.
Possibly. Might be.
That would be the logical one.
That would be the logical choice. Always does what's logical.
Especially because, you know, Mason Black, who's currently up and with the rotation, is needed to fill Wynn's spot.
Right.
And so you have room in the rotation, but not necessarily in the bullpen. So Nick Avila would be the one. And we also heard this week that Alex Cobb has stopped his throwing program because of his shoulder, which is entirely different than the reason that he was on the IL to begin with a hip replacement.
Yeah.
or not replacement. It seems like that's an old man thing.
Impingement.
Impingement. Yes. So maybe this gets spread out a little bit longer. I mean, you've got Robbie Ray in July, maybe. You know, you've got Keaton. When Keaton Wynn comes back, then maybe Mason Black gets sent back down. But the bigger issue around all of this is, you know, and we could talk about this in a future episode because this is going to take a lot longer than that. But I did want to bring up that a lot of these guys are on innings limits. And so how are they going to manage all of that while they're trying to get people innings and being on the roster and all that? So, you know, you're seeing it now. Wynn went on the IL with a forearm strain, but that's giving him some rest that he otherwise would be building up his innings. And so maybe you start seeing that any little kind of thing becomes an IL stint just so they can get guys rest and stretch them out through the season.
Well, I mean, some of these guys have options too. And like, you know, I don't, you know, Mason Black is like, you know, I don't look at him as a guy being like, oh, I feel bad that they sent him down.
No. But the other ones, right. Maybe, right? I mean,
yeah, I mean, yes, yes.
And then you got someone like Jordan Hicks, who's also kind of in that boat, but, you know, isn't probably going to get sent down. We can't get sent down. So
no, I mean, I would say, you know, I don't know, you know, maybe it's starting to punch your hand into the rice, you know, barrel a little bit more and you know, just lift some weights and just, I mean, you know.
Start beating some sides of beef.
Yeah, just get stronger, dude. Ugh. You know, back in my day when I used to watch people play baseball when I was younger, they used to pitch two games in one day. You're right. I wish they would lengthen them out a little bit more at the minor league level so they didn't come up only pitching 75 innings a game. Yeah. But, you know, if they did do that, maybe they would be getting hurt more and we would never see them at all. So what do I know? You're right. It is a question mark. I think they have the ability to make the moves. And I think right now they have enough guys that they can cycle through. Right.
They like, do. I just think it's going to be really interesting to see how they do it, because I think there's some that can't be sent down, some that are going to, like, are they counting on these injuries happening? Like, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see.
I don't think they're counting on it.
We get into September, you know, who are the guys that they're going with? You know, at that point.
I don't think that you'll see Wynn ever go down. I think you might see Wynn go to the bullpen. Which would certainly help with his innings. I think somebody like Randy Rodriguez or somebody else would be a candidate for going down in that case.
Yeah.
And so I think you have the ability to move that. I think Mason Black is definitely going to be an up and down kind of guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's your guy. And quite frankly, I'm very comfortable with that. He's, you know, he seems like, you know, has he been amazing? No. But has he been horrible? No. He's been a good, like, sixth guy in your organization to have who spends most of his time in AAA.
Yeah. Who possibly has better days ahead, for sure.
Right, exactly. So I think they're in a good place, and I think the moves will work themselves out, and I don't think they have any roster crunch.
Okay. Well, so one last question on the pitching then. Mm-hmm. So we talked about Nick Avila being the guy that goes down because he's the one, obviously, that's A, not right. pitching at all and has struggled when he has. Mm-hmm. Once that happens, Ben... Mm-hmm. Would you consider the bullpen to be the strength of this team?
Well, I would. I would absolutely consider the bullpen to be the strength of this team, and I would never call for any of the current members of the bullpen to be DFA'd. Unlike somebody else on this show.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, uh-huh.
In my defense, Sean Gelly was not very good until recently. Okay.
Yeah, he heard right. you and he was like, I'm going to take that and I'm going to, you know.
Yeah,
he
looked, it was all, I'm the reason that he got motivated. That's true.
He looked down at the top of your egghead and saw the reflection of his own face in it. And he looked at himself and he promised himself that he was a new man.
I mea culpa, I did not take into account that the man learned a cutter to throw to left-handed hitters, right? And
yeah,
and
well,
that has been the difference.
Right, so, well, so, yeah, I mean, I think there were two spots in the bullpen at the beginning of the season that were big question marks, and they were filled with, I don't even remember at this point, it was Kaiway Tang and was it Nick Avila at that point? I don't even remember.
Dalton Jeffries? Whatever, I don't know. Whatever.
It was Dalton Jeffries in the rotation, and then it was Nick Avila and Kaiwei Tang. Let's go with that. It could have been somebody else. I don't remember. Point is, they had two holes in the bullpen, and Jelly has filled one of them, and it looks like Randy Rodriguez has filled the other. And so now the whole bullpen is set from top to bottom, and it is absolutely the strength. Like, I mean, even Luke Jackson, right? He of the infinite ERA and the opening day, you know, F up. You know, he's the guy who barfed the bag of rubber ducks all over the place. You remember.
I do. I remember.
Yeah. He has been absolutely amazing since then. He has let every runner that he's inherited score, but it's only been four. And since then, he's only allowed two runs. Since opening day, when he allowed three and didn't get anybody out. So Luke Jackson has been fantastic. Miller has established himself. You know, the Rogers brothers, well, I mean, Tyler has been rock steady. Taylor has had a little bit, has gotten better. And Camilo, my biggest complaint about Camilo is he doesn't pitch enough.
Yeah, it's hard to find a weakness. It's hard to find somebody now that would be like, hey, they shouldn't be there. And I think for maybe that's the solution to the previous question about watching innings, is that maybe you're cutting like they did yesterday with Jordan Hicks. They, you know, stopped him at five innings, even though he had a gastric reversal of fortune before the game.
A gastric reversal of fortune.
As our friend
Andrew
Baggerly
said. That is what he said.
You know, they even though he had that, they were going to only let him pitch five anyway.
Right.
And that's maybe one way they're going to do that. And you can do that when you have a bullpen that has arms like we do now, when you have someone like Jelly and guys that can step in and pitch two innings of, you know, no hit ball or whatever. And so this is maybe the plan is all that all along. I don't know, but it's looking good. Also, Andrew Baggerly said that if you're going for alliteration, another phrase you could use is esophageal extractive event.
Esophageal extractive event.
Yes.
Wow.
So esophageal extractive event or a gastric reversal of fortune. All good ways of describing losing your lunch.
Interesting. Well, thank you, Andrew, for those wonderful euphemisms for what I assume is vomiting. I also noted that Jordan went and was eating stroopwafels during the game.
Yes.
Stroopwafels, excellent addition with your hot toddy.
Oh,
yeah.
I bet.
So what you do is you take the stroopwafel and you put it over the hot toddy right after you make the hot toddy.
Just let it, like a lid on top of your cup?
Yeah, like a lid on top of the cup. So the stroopwafel's got to be bigger than the cup.
Yeah.
And then the heat kind of softens the stroopwafel, and then you eat it and do a little dipping, and oh, it's so good. Also, Matthew, something about, I know we're getting to near the end of the show, but this is something that's been sticking in my craw ever since you told me about it earlier today. Jordan Hicks. You know, the deal with him, Matthew, former closer, former reliever, threw all these pitches, never started, always wanted to start.
In 2022, he started eight games.
Okay, in 2022, he started eight games, and he absolutely shut down the San Francisco Giants. That was 2022, like, oh, so long, like,
yep.
What?
Folks, a little story. This is why baseball is so fun. Ben and I were texting back and forth, and I had mentioned how the Giants could use Mauricio Dubon right about now. And then I was kind of looking at, like, you know, when Mauricio Dubon got traded, and it was May 14th of 2022, which was almost 2 years ago exactly, give or take a week. And so then I went and I was like, well, I wonder what his last game was. And so I went to May 13th of 2022, and I noticed that he got one at bat in that game before he got traded. And then I looked to see who the starting pitchers were, and it was Logan Webb and Jordan Hicks. They were playing the St. Louis
and I
Cardinals.
Thought it must have been a bullpen game.
And you were wrong, because Jordan Hicks pitched five innings, gave up
as
three runs. And pitched well against the Giants today. Got the loss because Logan Webb pitched better, but he didn't pitch poorly. And I was looking at that, I recall Farhan maybe, I think, even mentioning that he had pitched well against them, and that had stuck in his head so as a starter. So, you know, it's just funny how that all comes together, how things just kind of intertwine. Mauricio Dubon becomes Jordan Hicks.
It's just funny how the guy they said was never a starter was a starter. That really annoyed me. Like all these pundits being like, oh, he can't be a starting pitcher. He's a reliever who throws 130 miles an hour. Those guys can't throw. They can't start games. And here he'd already done it for 8 games. That's 8 more starts than I've had.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Old Potbelly Henry.
That's right, Potbelly. All right, Potbelly, it's time to wrap this sucker up.
It is time to wrap this up.
So it's time for the trivia question answer, Ben. Yes. And I do want to clarify, because the question was, yes, Luis Matos has driven in 17 runs in his first 6 games. That is the most by any Giants player in a 6-game span since this person drove in 19 in 2013. So the answer, the person is not in their first 6 games. And I'm sorry if I implied that. It is instead, it is the most anyone, any Giant has driven it over a 6-game span since September of 2013.
Well, that totally changes my answer.
Oh, so it's not high pockets, Kelly, anymore?
No. It's okay. Not high pockets, Kelly.
What is your answer?
Play
then?
In 2013. I just got it. It's Nick Noonan. Nick Noonan. Noonan.
Did Nick Noonan even have 6 games played with the Giants?
I don't even know if Nick Noonan is a real name.
Okay.
Double checking. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, my gosh, Matthew. He played in 62 games.
Okay.
Switch hitter, apparently. No, left-handed.
All right.
Old,
well, the answer.
Old lefty Nick Noonan.
So the answer is Hunter Scooter Pence. I'm just giving him a nickname
scooter.
There too.
Yeah. Well, scooter. I mean, that's because he rides a scooter everywhere. Exactly. I mean, that's what, you know, since he rides a scooter everywhere, his nickname is Scooter.
Exactly. And he drove in 19 runs from September 10th to September 15th, 2013.
Right. Right. I would call him old Hunter Double Hit Pence.
Oh, that's a good one, too. Yeah.
Yeah, the time he hit the ball twice,
yeah, on a swing, one swing. Yeah.
Double hit.
Yeah. I would maybe bobblehead, you know, Hunter bobblehead Pence. Mm. He looked in the batter's box.
Oh, Hunter Bowlegged Pence. Old bowlegged. Okay. Bowlegged.
I'm sure he would love every one of these.
Yeah, they're all good.
The answer to the trivia question. Looking ahead, Ben, to our opponents. Now, I have double-checked this.
Are you sure? Okay. I was going to say, are you sure?
The Giants are playing the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Oh.
Starting on Tuesday, when this episode airs. The Pirates are third in the NL Central. They are 22-26. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. Mm-hmm. Notable Giants to play for both the Pirates and the Giants, Ben. Joey Bart. That's it. That's the only
right.
one.
Right. That's the only one. That's the only one that you're going with. Well, last time we did this, I said Ryan Vogelsong. So
probably a better answer. Yeah. Yeah. All right. All right. And that's all we got today, folks. Don't forget to follow us on the socials at the platform formerly known as Twitter, on Instagram, Threads, and even Mastodon, where I put up our recipes now maybe once a week. I've been a little lazy on that. Sorry, I got to get those up. And then don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already. We noticed today that a lot of people downloaded last episode, even though we didn't publish, because you were probably used to looking for us on Mondays. You can solve that by automatically downloading your podcast. It'll just come right down to your player.
That's
so
right.
Don't forget to do that. And don't forget to rate us. We haven't seen a good rating in a while. So if you've been liking us, go give us 5 stars on the platform listener of your choice. And thank you to those of you who already have. Ben, that's all I got for you. It's been great chatting with you today. I hope you feel better. We'll see you in a couple of days. Cheers, my friend.
Cheers, Matthew. Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to the Giant Cocktails Podcast. Until next time, bottoms up.
This is gonna go down as like
one of the greatest podcast shows in history, where you just sucked it up and like,
right, you know, that's right, yeah, God, this is like
this
when
is like the Jordan's chicken
yeah,
soup game,
yeah, that's right, yeah, when Ben Henry's pulled himself out of the, yeah, got up there with that sore throat and that wheezing lungs just before, you know, right after that he got pneumonia.
This is like, you know, Jordan Hicks vomiting right before the game and going
that's
out.
That's right. That's right. And then eating his Stroop waffles, although he didn't know what a Stroop waffle was.
Yeah, he didn't know what to call it. Yeah.
He was like, one of those waffle things.